Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your blessing. Thank you that I don't owe you a thing. We talked about that this morning. But you gave us everything. Everything you are, every bit of you, gave us your love, your grace, your life, your blood, that we might be your bride, that we might be your body, we might be your home, your house, your place of existence, and your family, Lord. We thank you for those things. And now we got to get busy and pay you back. No. We get to just say thank you and watch you move within us, for it's you who's at work in us, causing us to will and to you do your good pleasure. Causing us. That is so crazy. Thank you, Lord. May we be good sock puppets filled with only you and not ourselves. May we rest in Jesus. As we take a look at this word, Lord, oh, help us to understand it. Help us to grasp it more completely. And we pray these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Amen. Remember Joshua in Joshua 5. He's going to jump into Jericho. The next thing is Jericho. They're literally like inches away from Jericho. They get circumcised there. I can't believe that story. They build altars to remind them how powerful and wonderful the Lord is. They go from eating manna to eating the food of the promised land. That's a huge thing that happened right there, as they realized that manna was literally the food of sin, the food of bondage, the food of captivity, and the food of death. But God loves us, and even when we're caught up in sin or whatever, he still meets our needs. God is so good. However, you can't expect the same kind of provisions and protections as when you're walking under his umbrella of protection and love. And that's walking in faith. That's walking in the knowledge of who he is and saying, yes, thank you, Lord. Before they go into Jericho, Joshua goes, he's praying. I mean, and he's outside of the camp, and he's praying, and he runs into this guy. What in the world? I don't know how big this guy is. I don't know if he's regular man size or giant size, but he's enough that he sees that sword, and he says, who in the world are you? Are you for us or against us? It's a great question, Joshua 5, 13 through 15. You read that whole thing. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua approached the guy and he said, are you for us or are you for your enemy? Great question. There's this big guy scaring you with a big sword. I love this answer. This answer is so profound and so powerful and so breathtaking. I wanted to go over it one more time. Neither. What do you mean? Here's this big guy, and he is the commander of the Lord's hosts. Who is this guy? And I think it's really Jesus. It's what they call when you see Jesus in the Old Testament, it's called a Christophany. And if it's God in the Old Testament, like speaking through the bush, it's a theophany. It's just him manifesting himself in a unique way. And he says, neither. I have now come as commander of the Lord's army. Then Joshua, smart guy, fell face down in reverence and asked him, what does my Lord have to say to his servant? Remember Paul, when he saw the light, remember that? Paul saw the bright light on the road to Damascus. What happened? He was blinded by the light. What was his response? He fell straight down. Did he fall off his horse? There's no horse in the story. I always pictured he's on a horse and he fell off his horse. No horse. Falls down and he says, who are you, Lord? Here's a guy who doesn't even know who this bright light is, thinks he's doing the will of God. He's out there with warrants and he's arresting Christians. And God says, why are you persecuting me? Ha ha. We are the body of Christ. You persecute Christians, you're persecuting the Lord. And I guarantee you God will, he'll make that right. You know Christians are being killed right now. Like no time in all of history, there is a persecution of Christians, literally beheadings and killings and imprisonments. It's so mind-boggling that that's going on this day and age. And it's worse than the Uyghurs. It's a terrible thing, but nobody speaks of it. It just doesn't come up. You got to do a little bit of digging to find out. Every once in a while, it cracks through in media. There's a lot going on. And you go, why, God, why? Well, in some ways, it's thank you, Lord. These folks get to go straight home to be with the Lord, because to be out of the body is to be present with the Lord, which is great. But I can't stand the fact people are being tortured and they're being beaten and they're being abused. But I think that God meets you there. Just like Stephen, when he was stoned and he was beaten, he was praising the Lord. What? Not because he was so cool, not because he was so strong or stuff, just because the Holy Spirit invaded him. And his body was going through this horrific event, but he was caught up with the Lord. And I think that's what the Lord does for us. I really do. We don't want to see this stuff going on. We know there's persecution and all this stuff happening to God's people. This is not the great tribulation. There is coming a day where it's going to be a billion times tougher than that. And this is right now. We're not in that time. That time hasn't come yet. It is coming. But we still stand for the Lord. That day may come right here. This a time of real physical persecution and danger as Christians. But right now, we have it easy. So let's use this time to glorify God, to spread his word, to shine his light and love, to enjoy gathering together freely. Don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together, especially in these last days, it says in Scripture. We got to get together. We got to pray for each other. And we want to go farther in our walk, be more understanding of who we are. And when it comes to this thing, it was so cool that Paul fell on his face and Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Understanding, and the Lord says, when you persecute these people, you're persecuting me. We are the body of Christ. And I believe that he will. You're going to pay a price for that. You know, these people that want to torture God's people, if they don't repent, if they don't receive Christ, man, I don't want to even think about what's going to happen there. But I guarantee you, they're not going to be with the Lord for eternity. Now, he says, what does my Lord have to say to his servant? Again, there's a spiritual moment where he goes, okay, this is something massively out of this world, and he's smart enough to say, my Lord, what do you want? Smart. How many times does God want to do stuff like that in our life and we miss it entirely? I don't know, but I know he didn't miss it. So what's the next slide there? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Man, I was thinking of that, and I spoke a little bit about this last week. He took off his sandals. He says, take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. I never understood that before. You know, the place, take off your sandals. Same thing with Moses before the burning bush. Remember that? Take off your sandals, the place you're... What is that all about? Well, I think, I'm making this up, but I think there's some correlation here. If this is holy ground, why am I insulating myself from it with these shoes? These shoes represent my protection of myself. These shoes represent I can run, I can walk, I can get places, I can conquer, I can do this and that. You take your shoes off, especially in the desert, that's scary. There's thorns and stickers and snakes and scorpions. What are you doing taking your shoes off? You're taking your shoes off as a sign of complete dependence on the Lord. You're taking your shoes off to say, I'm not in control anymore. You can't even run away from this situation. You took your shoes off. I'm saying, I am submitted. I am in your presence. Yes, Lord, I take my shoes off. That's kind of, again, I'm building on this, but I think it's kind of how we're to walk with the Lord. Barefoot. No protection, no distance between us and the Lord. No saying, well, yes, I'll step in, but sort of. Yes, I'll walk with you, but not completely. I'll give you me, but I still want to keep a little backup plan. You know, I can run if I need to. I can, you know, kick somebody if I need to. No, I want you to take your shoes off. You know how naked you must feel out in the wilderness without your shoes on? Do you know how vulnerable you must feel? Now, I've always wondered, why, Lord, why this shoe thing? And I was praying about it the other day, and so this little vision came to me, this little, like, I can see that there's vulnerability and tenderness when you take your shoes off. I know me right now. I've been wearing shoes all through the winter. I take my shoes off. I can't walk even on that parking lot. My feet hurt. Have you ever gone a whole summer with no shoes? At the end of the summer, your feet are like alligator skin. You can walk anywhere, do anything. But yeah, I went a whole summer and didn't wear shoes anywhere I went. And oh, it was so fun. My feet got truly, it would gross you out. It was like elephant skin and cracked and hard and leathery. But man, and now the littlest pebble is so painful. Again, I ain't going nowhere without my shoes. It's painful. That's what he's saying. Take off your sandals, or the place you're standing is holy ground. Be still before me. Let me have you. Be vulnerable before me. Don't fake me out. Don't think you're cool. Don't think you're going to stand there in your own righteousness, in your own goodness. You got nothing. Take off your shoes. You're vulnerable and bare before me. That's what God wants. Think about that for a minute. That's what God's asking of us, that kind of tenderness. Does God have that of you? That requires trust. It really does. Where are you going to take me, Lord? What are you going to, and he's I can just see this little conversation. He takes off his sandals. Where are we going? You know, I mean, there's stickers. I got you. When you're walking with the Lord, the stickers won't get you. You can trample on serpents and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. He can in no way harm you, right? Luke 10:19. That's what it says. So I think there's a lot of lessons that converge here and intertwine. And Joshua did so. Good. The Lord says, take off your shoes. Take off your shoes. The Lord says, follow me. Follow me. The Lord says, jump in my arms. Jump in his arms. But guess what we do? Just the opposite most of the time. How often, I mean, every day the Lord says, be still and know that I am God. Every day the Lord says, Jesus, take the wheel. Let Jesus take. And what do? We're driving this thing and we're not tender before the Lord. We were just talking about that in our prayer session over there. What's it mean to not be on the throne? What's it mean to let Jesus be on the throne? Think about it. What's that mean? Now, every one of you is probably going, oh, I get that. Jesus is totally on the throne all the time. I'm a very tender, responsive Christian. Are you? Are you? Think about it. Are you? Dave brought up an example. You're driving in traffic and they're being weird. Are you angry? Are you anxious? Are you like, come on, come on? Are you cussing out the other people on the road? Are you speeding around? You know? Be honest, Donna. I mean, what's Heather really like? But it's funny. It's funny how much of our selfish self comes out in places like driving. I was saying yesterday, one of the places that gets me so, I lose it. I have in the past trying to start the weed eater. Man, I'll tell you what. There are more than a couple of weed eaters wrapped around a tree somewhere. I'm not kidding. You finally just like, yeah, pick it up and just, yeah. I threw one over a fence and into a river. The neighbor was out and he said, you know, you got to go get that. Right? I know. I mean, some things can make me crazy. Poor Joseph was trying to start the lawnmower the other day. 20, 30 pulls, nothing. It just wouldn't start. It wouldn't start. You know, it has a couple levers on the handle that you have to pull one lever before you pull the string because it makes the gas go on or whatever. He was pulling the one that makes the wheels work. Yeah, Joseph. So I said, well, let's try the other one. Because I said, this thing's usually so wonderful. You just one pull and it's a slow start, but it works, you know. So I did that and I pulled that thing and it went. It was awesome. Now we know. And Joshua did so. That's what God's calling us to. To that kind of faith. Like, it's not really obedience. It's not like Joshua's going, nah, screw that. I'm not doing that. It's not about obedience. It's about faith. It's about saying, yeah, yeah, that's who I am. That's what I need, you know. I am here as the Lord, just doing my job. Basically, that commander guy's saying, are you for us or against us? I'm neither. I'm just doing my job. What's the real question? Your job's to worship and watch. His job's to do it. He's the Lord. And you're saying, are you for us or against us? I need you on my team. He's like, no, no, you need to get on my team. You need to be doing what the Lord's doing. Not saying God bless what I'm doing. That's stupid. Say, Lord, what are you doing? And get involved. Lord, what do you want? Do it. Take off your sandals. Trust me. Get on board. Your job's to worship, taking off those sandals, an act of worship. Watch what he does. Watch what he does. And in this, they get to see it all the time. Step in the water, it parts, walk across. Make pillars to remember how awesome God is. Circumcise the troops. What? Hey, just do what he says. Just do what he says. And when you get to the place where you just do what he says, that's a fun place to be. Because now it's not about you making the right decisions anymore. It's not about you being a hero. It's about you being still and letting him be the hero. You be still and know that he is God and you are not. That's a place of rest. That's a place of joy. And no matter what happens, car breaks down, money runs out, kids act weird, and you just go, yep, it's in the Lord's hands. It's not about me. You think it's about you, you're going to be anxious. You're going to be upset. You're going to be angry. You're not going to be a happy camper. It's about him. And that's what we're talking about. What battle do you face today? And then the things you ask is, Lord, are you going to help me or not? Whose side are you on anyway, Lord? And the Lord's saying, well, what? This isn't about me helping you. It's about you getting in line with me. It's about you getting in line. Now, Christian, get this. If it's true that old things have passed away and all things have become new, if it's true that you've been transformed and made new, if it's true that he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21, that's really true, then what's your greatest act of faith or whatever is to just say, what are you doing, Lord? If it's true that you've been transformed and made new, then your job is to get in line with your new nature. Your job is to forget that old you that you used to be so proud of, that you spent a whole lifetime honing and shining, and look at me, I've become faithful, and I've become a wonderful wife, or I've become a good friend, or a good business person, or I'm who cares? You got to align with who you are now. And who are you now? You've been made new. You've been transformed. You're not a sinner. It's not about you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, if you get that and you walk in that identity, everything else is fun. That's why I always say, now go play. If you're truly walking in your identity and you truly know that God is in control, then what would you get angry or wigged out about? You can't. So if you find yourself angry, wigged out, anxious, flipping, you can honestly say at that very moment, I am not aligning with Christ. I'm not aligning with my new nature. You know that. How do I know? Because Betsy told me. Are you walking in your new nature? No, I'm not. So you can see when you're out of sync. When you're out of sync, you're going to be out of sync with your spouse. You're going to be out of sync with your kids. You're going to be out of sync with the events that are happening in your life. You're going to be out of sync and you're going to feel it. It's anxious, it's anxiety, it's anger, it's fear. All of the above are not from the Lord. That's from you. So you can easily at that moment stop yourself and go, wait a minute, what am I doing? You don't stop and go, I need to not be angry. I need to not be angry. No. That's not going to help you. You need to go, thank you, Lord, that you're in control. Thank you, Lord, that this has nothing to do with me. Be still and know that I am God. Now that's helpful. Now that's peace. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which doesn't even make any sense, will guard your heart, all those emotions and all those feelings, and your mind, all those thoughts and all the images that you have in Christ Jesus. How do you want peace? Be still. Know that he's God. You want? Be anxious for nothing. With prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. I love this formula. Prayer, Lord, you're awesome. You're good. I think you're awesome. I think you're a good God, recognizing his identity. Supplication, that's petition. That's asking. That's requests. Here's what I'm dealing with. My car's conking out. I need a job. My kids are acting up. God, help me. Thank you. What are you thanking him for? Because he says he heard you. He's already done it. Thank you, Lord, that you hear me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you've given me everything I need for life and godliness. It's a done deal. Thank you. Prayer, petition, thanksgiving, and now that peace of God, which doesn't make sense because nothing has yet changed. It's coming. He's heard you. You believe change is part of what just occurred. And so that peace, which passes understanding, it's God's peace, it's miraculous peace, floods over you and it guards your hearts and minds. So you can't run away with those little pictures and that anger anymore. Your heart and your mind, that's your imaginations and your feelings. He's got it all in Christ Jesus. Man, tattoo that verse on your eyelids because that is one to know. Is that Gail, who that's her favorite verse? That's my favorite verse as well. I love that verse. What battle do you face today? Nothing, honestly. The Lord has to face it. Let him have it. I don't care what it is. Health, finances, relationship, job, fixing that thing in the garden, whatever it is. I start by just giving it to him. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that you are not God. Be still and know that I've got you. Therefore, you can rest in him.